Perfect is a luxury landscape designer. He is a two-time Inc. 5000 recipient. He is a frequent contributor to major media outlets, and he is the best-selling author of Straight Dirt, New York City's premier designer. Tells it like it is. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Great to be here, George. Glad, man. Good to be here. Let's roll.
Let's do it. Excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Why I do what I do. George, that's a good question. When I got your questions beforehand, I'm like, all right, personal life, married, two kids, three dogs, the house with the fence. I got it all.
I got it all.
Paying the colleges. We're doing it, brother. I got one more left and he's off the payroll, but that's it. Why I do what I do. So I think when I get asked that question, I'm like, well, why do I do what I do? Right. I'm like, oh, well, I'm a landscape artist, let's say, right. Some artists paint, some artists sculpt, some artists write music. Mine just happens to be your backyard. That's kind of the simplest way to put it. I come in sometimes as a blank slate. I get to create the vision. We design the project. I spend their money. And at the end of it, it's like, wow, I feel like I'm on vacation. We got another one that said, you know, before we did the swimming pool, my husband, he's 45 years old, did not know how to swim. So they invited me over at the end of the summer and they showed me how he swam across the thing. And when they told me it's the best money they ever spent, I mean, that's pretty crazy.
That's right? Awesome.
So, but besides the money part of it, there is a bigger why to the whole thing, right?
How it seems to me that I'm sure you have countless stories about how you came into what was probably a beautiful home and just sort of an afterthought for a backyard or maybe even a mess. And you're able to create something that is a sanctuary or something that's very beautiful. So to change the dynamic of the outdoor space completely must be really something.
Yeah. So that the reason why I started this company is because of the frustration, right? Because you would see a $5 million house and the backyard was an afterthought, right? And it was like ordering a beautiful filet mignon and just pouring ketchup all over and just ruining the taste. So I think the design of the outside needs to be in synergy with the design of the inside. It's especially in this crazy world like we're in right now, people, that's your only sane place is your home, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a sanctuary. It's where you create memories and it's where you raise your family. So that's why I'm here, because of the frustration of people doing the wrong, I guess.
And so many different ways to screw up just about anything. And I'm sure it's just a million different ways to screw up a backyard or an outdoor space. What is kind of that initial conversation? You're meeting with people and you're working with people that have means. So it's probably not about money, but maybe it is. But how does it typically start?
It's always about money. There's never, I mean, I don't care. It's always, listen. We call that come to Jesus conversation, right? Where, you know, they whip out their phone. Typically, they whip out their phone and they start scrolling and they show me all the beautiful stuff. So I just let them know that, listen, that's going to cost $300,000. That's $400,000. So it kind of gives them a sense of reality, right? And all those beautiful magazines that you see, the manicured gardens, they take a lot of maintenance. So we start really setting the expectations of what's reality and what's not, right? And it's not just about throwing money at things. You want to make sure it's designed properly to fit your lifestyle. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You know, it just has to be designed properly. It really comes down to the design. I can do a 20 square foot rooftop in Manhattan, and it's still, you can tell it's been designed, properly placed materials. So it's not about just throwing money at stuff.
Well, that's a whole interesting thing, isn't it? It's a large estate in the Hamptons is different than that 20 square foot rooftop opportunity, but still an opportunity to create a sanctuary or something that's really beautiful and special.
Exactly. It's like your own space. Like it's your own space that you can go outside, unplug and reconnect with things that matter most. Right. So it's really I think it's more of a mind thing than just a business transaction. Right.
So you talk about looking and thinking of yourself as an artist, which you certainly are. When your clients are coming to you with pictures, How does that work? Because they have a vision, but then you're the artist. So do you crumple the pictures up and throw it at them and say, "Get this
No,
crap out of here"?
no. I never listen. My job is just to lead you up the mountain to get something that's beautiful, that you can trust somebody that's going to do the pick out the right plants, the right material to design it. At the end of the day, you're living there, right? This is your place. I'm not going to design a monument for myself. It's really your home. So I really listen to their needs and their wants first and foremost. I said, describe the feeling you want to have when you go outside. Some say, I want to feel like I'm in Las Vegas. Some say, I want to feel like I'm at the Ritz-Carlton. Some say, I want to feel like I'm in a Zen garden. So that feeling describes what I design. It's very simple in that regards of it. So then I get the feeling, and then I can get it, and then I can create the space.
What a beautiful thing, and how fun! I'm sure you get. I'm sure you hear common things, but then outlandish, off the wall things, and it's all great.
Some's good, some's bad, man. We can share lots of war stories. It just doesn't end. Permitting and drainage and logistics of getting the stuff up on a rooftop or getting a pool up on a mountaintop in Connecticut is all different things. But I think if you're in business and you're going to be that guy, you can't say, I may be able to do it. I should be able to do it. You have to say, I can definitely do it on time and on budget because they're hiring you as the expert, not the guy that maybe can do the job, right? That's why I've tried to position myself as the guy, not just another guy that they pay me to think. They don't pay me to dig a hole, right? So that's what sets me apart from the others, I think. And you have to be that upper tier, otherwise you're just going to be another guy that digs holes.
Right. On time and on budget. How are you able to do that, Steve?
Just hey, sometimes I have to take it in the shorts. I have to, that's part of business, right? You can't say, oh, I messed up on the proposal. I messed up on my bid. Now you got to stick to that price. It's very important that because in this business, referrals are everything, right? And that's why we minimize the advertising and the Facebook is I'd rather give somebody a $300 plant that's not warranted than give it to Zuckerberg on Facebook ads because that will lead me to other people that they hang out with. Super important.
Well, that certainly makes sense. In terms of, well, something I was for sure curious about is just the impact that COVID has had on your work. Was it the same before COVID as it is today, or did
No,
COVID
no.
really hasten all of it?
It really made people realize, wow. I mean, it was crazy. I was like, oh man, we're done. Nobody's going to spend money. But it really made people aware of family, outdoors. I mean, really, it's a whole world has changed. I got people now that want me to build them outside offices because most people work from home a few days a week. It just really expanded the whole living space and the environment and how important to have a place that's safe and that's your own place. And that was crazy times, lockdown. But if you had a beautiful backyard, hey, not so bad spending a 6 months out in your beautiful backyard, right?
So you mentioned needs and wants, and it popped into my head that a lot of realtors will say, well, you're not going to get everything that's on your list necessarily, so focus on these things. How do you think about that?
So we have them give me your wish list. Give me dump and talk. We're just talking. I want to have the hot tub. I want to have the pool, the kitchen. And then we get it all out. And then we talk about the money. The money's got to be talked about, right? Like, you can spend, I can build your backyard for 20 grand. I can build your backyard for 500 grand, right? And I use the analogy of a swimming pool, right? Where if I bought a swimming pool from Target, filled it with water, you would get just as wet as a $300,000 swimming pool. So it's kind of like, but and you want to design something that fits in with the neighborhood. It's all tied into real estate as well, right? You want to try to maximize that property because in New York, the tax property taxes are super high. So I try to tell people try to maximize every square inch of your property, get the highest and best use out of it, even for resale.
Highest and best use is a great term. I've always liked that. And that was something
Like
that I
that
was
one,
curious
huh?
about too, for sure. Is it Let's
You're being the
try.
money man. You're the guy, right?
Yes, but you want to find the highest and best use for all of your resources, and certainly space, particularly when we're talking about New York City, that is at a premium. So being mindful of that certainly makes sense.
Yes, for sure. Every square, you want to use it, not just fill it up with stuff. It has to be designed properly with flow and how the patio fits. If you're entertaining, can it fit 20 people, 50 people? You want to make sure, you want to do, the design is the most important part, because it's basically a graphical representation of what everybody's, the play, it's the playbook. Like, you wouldn't build a house without a set of architectural plans. It's the same thing.
And are you using some kind of like software, like CAD of some kind, to show them?
I am OG. I am the OG. I still hand draw everything, right? And I think that that art form has been lost, right? Where people now CAD. Listen, when you put it on CAD, we have people that put it on CAD. If it's for a town permit, I can transfer it onto CAD. But the initial concept plan is hand drawn with markers and pastels, and it gives them a feeling of an artistic flair. And I think that that says a lot, because anybody can now with AI, you know, you can basically generate a beautiful picture. The key is, can you execute that plan, right? Anybody can draw a beautiful picture. Oh, it looks great. It's going to cost $300,000, but you have to be able to execute that plan and build it. It has to be buildable. You have to be able to build it. You're not going to hang the picture on the wall.
Right. Well, that certainly does make sense if we're talking about doing something and being the guy offering the greatest service, that you would want to, and I would almost expect that it would be a drawn design as opposed to just punching numbers into a keyboard and then getting some image spit out. So,
and I got the gray, dude. I'm
you got
65, 60. I've been doing this for 40 years. That's a long time.
It is that.
It's a long, but it makes you like, I'm an expert on it, because I've made so many mistakes over the years that, you know, would you rather, if you're going to have a knee surgery, you want the guy that just got out of medical school, or you want the guy that done 10,000 operations? It makes it an easy pitch for me, actually.
No, it makes sense. What was the motivation for the book?
I just feel that the book raises your credibility, right? So if it's between me and another guy, same price, same everything, I'm probably going to go with the guy that wrote the book. Just that's kind of helping, right? Kind of wrote the book. The book is not a money maker. It was never designed for money, but it is more to set the credibility and show the authority in the space.
It makes all the sense in the world. And as you probably describe it to people, or you share the book with potential would-be clients as they're interviewing other people, why wouldn't I go with the person that's taken the time and put the effort in and everything to write this? Oh, it's so much effort. And I can probably get to know you through that. Your personality, I'm sure, comes out in it, and it's a resume, and it's all these things.
The book, if any of you listen, like, the book is good. Like, it's not a lot of text. It's hardcover book, where it's somewhere around it. Hardcover book. It's like a coffee table book. It was designed for a coffee table book, not just a quick throwaway paperback book. So it has beautiful photography in it, anecdote stories of trials and tribulations of some projects, so people can kind of get an understanding what is involved in a big, it's a lot of work, like a big backyard. Like, I'm coming into your backyard, I'm going to dig an 8-foot hole, 40 feet long. Like, it's traumatizing. And you better, it is, you better make sure that you have all your ducks in a row before you just start winging it, because it can become a money pit. That's why the idea for the landscape plan is important. I tell people, do you want to know what the job's going to cost you before we start or halfway through? And that's, you know, that's easy, right?
It's so invasive, even if it goes great. So you better feel good about the person that you're inviting into your home and yard.
Yeah, some of those projects take 6 months. Yeah. You're there, you know, it's a long, if you've done any sort of home renovation, most listeners on here, you know, if they own a home or whatever, they've had some sort of renovation. And the stories you hear are, you know, a guy didn't show up, he told me it was going to cost this, cost that. So from that frustration, I tried to take that frustration and flip it around and do everything opposite. Great communication, on time, on budget, and try to, like, you know, break the myth of the shoddy contractor who doesn't show up. He is, you know, the stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Live them.
You live them, right?
On both sides. Had the opportunity to work with great ones and had the opportunity to fire bad ones. So,
and now the great ones, what was the difference between the great ones and the bad ones? The difference?
It's the communication.
Communication. Yeah, that's big. And communication is in everything, not just business as well, right? Just relationships and anything.
Expectations, you know. Steve, you said you were going to be here on Monday at this time and you didn't show up until Thursday. That's not cool, buddy.
Or they don't. One of the worst things is that they don't show up at all and the homeowner's expecting you to come and, oh, my dog got sick, I couldn't make it. But you just got to call people, let them know what's happening. It's very simple. It's business 101, like old school. Like, say what you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. It's very simple.
Yeah. But it's very human, Steve, that we like to make things a lot harder on ourselves than
we all do, George. We simply beat ourselves. We've all been there, you know.
So you think you said you had kids and they're going into college. And is anybody going to take over the family business?
I got one out of college. She's in Chicago. And I got one that is a senior, going to be a senior coming up. So I'll have all that extra disposable, you know. I mean,
right?
No, none of them are in the business.
Okay.
My wife is like, no way. Sees me come home dirty. Listen, being an entrepreneur and being in business is not for everybody. It's lonely. It's not what everybody says on the internet. Oh, I'm gonna be in a. It's a grind, man. It's. You know, there's no. You don't know if you're gonna get paid. Can you make the bills? I think everybody's not cut out for it. Nobody's, you know, why am I there? I have no idea.
Why do you suppose that you've been successful?
Because I saw my dad, man. He was a union construction worker in New York City. You know, you have to go to work sick and cold and, like, there's no calling in sick. And, like, I just remember him saying, oh, why don't you come join the union? You get good benefits and all. I'm like, This wasn't my, I want to bet on myself, right?
Yeah.
I got to go. I'm going all into myself, whether we sink or fail. Hey, in 2008, when the recession hit, they repossessed two of my cars and took the baby's car seats out, right? I'll never forget that night, 3 o'clock in the morning with the flashlights in the car. You know, they had to come take the cars because we didn't pay. You know, I just had to persist and not give up. I think if you don't quit, I think you can never fail, right? We've heard that so many times, right? Maybe I'm just hard-headed. Maybe.
Well, I think that's all right for sure. God, what a story. Cars get repossessed. They take the kids' car seats out and leave them in the driveway. Like, thank you.
No, but I'll never forget the guy's face, man. He actually felt bad.
For sure, I bet.
I mean, he felt bad. Like, I wasn't mad. I didn't get mad at the guy. He actually said, listen, I'm sorry, but, you know, you can take the car seats off and all, but I got to do my job. And I was totally cool with it. It wasn't like, you know, wow, you can't. You know, it was totally cool. It was very eye-opening, right?
For sure.
So, yeah. So it was a good story.
Credit to your dad for, you know, toughing it out for 30, 40 years probably I think he was
50 years.
God, 50 years, just day in, day out, just – eating and crap
and eating and construction in New York City back in the 70s, New York City was broke, right? So he got laid off. I remember that he was getting laid off a lot. And then he actually bought a hot dog truck. He did the hot dog truck for a while. And then he trimmed bushes for a while for clients. That's when I first got started. He would trim bushes. He would put an ad in a little penny saver. I would go with him to trim the bushes. And then after a while, I never forget this. I was good at trimming bushes. He would bring me to the job. I was only like 13. Bring me to the job, leave me there, come back a few hours later, collect the money, give me a little bit. And then I think that's when they clicked, actually. Like, yeah. So you want to be the guy that gets the jobs. The sales is everything. You can sell, you can do anything.
I want to be the guy that the client hands the money to, and I'll keep most and give a little bit to the other people. So,
Yeah, but it comes with a lot of responsibility
oh,
too.
for sure.
It's not
Yeah.
that easy. You know that, man.
No. Well, those are great stories right there, and it certainly all makes sense and just develops such an appreciation for, I mean, for the value of hard work and the value of time and money and energy and everything else from the experience seeing your dad go through all of that, and then the experience during the recession and now COVID, and here you are, Steve, on top of the world,
No, George,
graduating
George,
kids.
not George, not
You made it, buddy.
I still work every day. There's no, I'm not sitting around driving a Lamborghini. But I think people just have to have a little patience, and that it's going to take, 'cause I get people all the time, "Hey, how do you get those big jobs?" Right? It took 30 years to get the big jobs. And by the way, the big jobs are not always the best jobs, right?
Right.
They're not. You think it's all big money. You have to make sure your numbers are right. Otherwise, you can take a loss, right? So I'm just trying to think of something, one nugget I can give your listeners that you just have to like show up every day, man. Like you hear it all the time, but it is true. Just show up and don't quit. And just, and I think I still do this because I just want to see what else is out there, right? How far, what we can do. We got the book, we got the podcast going with you guys. Like what else is out there, right? So that's why I do what I do. In the beginning of the segment, you asked me, why do I do it? That's why I do it. I just like the game. I like the hunt, right?
Yeah, I
I
love
don't
it.
like, and I don't like golf. I don't golf, man.
So what
Like
else would you be
it's,
doing, for goodness sakes?
but Scottsdale's a lot of golf, I heard.
We certainly do have a
Do
lot
you
of
play
golf
golf?
courses
You
here.
play?
Well,
You
sure.
play? Yeah,
I have
you're a
three really
golfer.
young kids though right now, so golf is, I'm not in the
How
golf
old are the
season of
kids?
life. 8, 5, and 2.
Oh, man.
No
Boys,
golf.
girls?
Two boys, and then the little one is
That's
a
like
girl.
the best
That's
time,
awesome.
man. That's like, those are the best time. And they're over. It's like, man, I'd have another kid just so I can go to sports again. Like, it's the best time. Like, I know sometimes you want to just, the little freeloaders, they get on your nerves, but best time ever, for
Yeah.
sure. Wow, you got three little guys. That's cool.
Yeah, it is a
There's
blessing.
no golf for you.
There's no
See you.
golf.
I'm going,
What are you talking
goodbye. I'm
about?
going to go out and golf for 6 hours on a
Please do.
Saturday. Not
Yeah.
happening. No
You
way.
send me a text or something to take a picture of the awesome time that you're having on the
No,
golf
that's
course.
fun. I would rather be with the kids anytime, for sure.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you, and how can they engage with you?
So George, the biggest thing now is I guess everybody's on the Instagram. So I'm at Steve Griggs Design. If you have a landscape question, you can just DM me. It's Steve Griggs Design. Website, SteveGriggsDesign.com. We just started, right? We just finished wrapping up a course, actually. I'm just going to be putting out a landscaping course for young landscapers who
Nice.
want to learn, since my kids are not going to be in the business, right? So it's going to be on the Upflip podcast. It's going to be on the Upflip platform where they have a bunch of educational, where you can start a business, any kind of business. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, I like trying new stuff.
Oh, I think that's exciting, and it certainly makes sense. So, well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Steve your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to Steve Griggs Design. It's StevGriggs Design.com. Check out all the great work that Steve's been doing. Find him on Instagram under Steve Griggs Design. And then if you are somebody who's been curious about entrepreneurship or landscaping, check out the course as well. And we will link all of those in the notes. Thanks again, Steve.
Thanks, George.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.